It was about 10 days before Christmas one year when a woman realized she hadn't even bought her Christmas cards yet. She ran out, went to the store. In the midst of all the busyness, she had a list of 10 different things to do. She ran into the card store, pulled out a box of cards. There were 50 cards. She needed about 40. She ran back home. Didn't even look at what was in it. She just knew they looked pretty on the outside. She went home. Sat down. She started writing addresses. Got all of her address cards out. Wrote addresses. Wrote names. Put a stamp on and sent them out. 40 cards immediately went out. Another thing checked off the box. A little bit later that day, she happened to see some of the extra cards sitting there, and she had a moment to breathe, and so she decided to look at the inside of the card. And on the inside it said, "This is just a little card to say a special gift is on its way." So 40 of her friends were all of a sudden expecting a gift. When my little daughter Angela was about to give birth to her first child, she consulted with her older sister who had had a baby, and Angela, my little daughter, had watched Faith, my older daughter, go through what people go through in those first months and year of life. My little daughter Angela was quite concerned. Her pregnancy was going well, but she was concerned about what was going to happen once the baby came. You see, Angela loved to sleep. I mean, sleep was everything. This is a girl who would sleep in every morning. We'd have to wake her up for school. On Saturday, she'd sleep till 11 o'clock. We'd have to wake her up to come to church. She loved to sleep. But she had watched her older sister be a mom and was getting very nervous. And at one point, about 4 weeks from delivering her first child, Angela said to her older sister, "Faith, will I ever sleep again?" She was expecting, but she was expecting never to sleep. And those of you who have been moms know that you pretty much don't sleep that first year. But she's her mom. Isn't it interesting that when we see a pregnant woman, we say, "Oh, she's expecting." When we see a couple, we say, "They are expecting." Well, what are they expecting? Well, again, you who've had children, you know that you may be expecting a physical body, but you're also expecting lots and lots of uncertainty and unknowns as this gift comes into your family. Today we talk about this gift of expectation as a part of our series, Hacking for Bethlehem. You see, as we're preparing to get to the Bethlehem manger to celebrate Jesus' birth, we're hacking it, we're taking a trip. So think about how you pack. You get ready by packing. Well, we're getting ready. Our sanctuary is increasingly beautified with the decorations, your homes, the community. We're packing. We're getting ready. Today, after packing patience last week, we pack expectation. We add this to what we're taking with us on this journey to Bethlehem.
Now, the text that Pastor Anthony read a moment ago is classic, and one of the challenges of the Christmas story is we've heard it so often we sometimes don't hear it so well. So listen again to this text
that is Mary's dialogue with the angel. So the angel shows up and says, "You're going to have a baby. She's a virgin, hasn't known a man. This is God's miracle. Why me?" She's wondering. But when the angel says, "You're going to have a baby," the text from Luke says, Mary's response was, "How will this be?" I think that was a third or fourth version of the Bible verse. I think what really Mary said when the angel said, "You're going to have a baby," Mary said, "What?" It was shocking. It was completely unexpected. "How shall this be?" Luke then writes.
And on goes the dialogue. "I'm a virgin." Then the angel says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of God will overshadow you. So the one to be born to you will be called the Son of God." And then reference to Elizabeth also to have a child. That's John the Baptist. But then the angel says at the end, "For no word from God will ever fail." And Mary says, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be."
No word from God will ever fail. And Mary says, "Let it be. I am the Lord's servant."
And so Mary goes from this shock to this status of expecting God's word not to fail and for these things to happen. Expectation is one of the most powerful human emotions and attitudes. Expectation on a human level has incredible power to shape the results of our lives, the success of our lives, the effectiveness of our lives. Expectation is an attitude which changes lives, and I have seen it over and again. I remember my very first sermon.
Pastors remember their first sermons. Nobody else does, but I do. And I remember it was called The Art of Hopeful Expectation. And I remember thinking then, as I did a lot of studying about this topic then in over 6 years, that hopeful expectation is a manifestation of the way God made us, connected body, mind, and spirit.
And that all of these things woven together give us power for living through hopeful expectation. That's why,
on the negative side, the same point, you go to the doctor. It's a routine checkup, but you go to the doctor, and the doctor takes your blood pressure. And it's a little high. But the doctor says, no, that's okay. Because the doctor knows that a huge percentage of people who go to see physicians, when they have their blood pressure taken, are suffering from a syndrome. Anybody know what it's called? White coat syndrome. Just the fact that there's a doctor there, you get nervous. And that point is that your nervousness affects your body. And we have countless other examples. You affect your body by the way you think.
The Bible says, as you think, so shall you be.
Back to one of my daughters, and when they were in high school, they had a presentation to give on the stage at the high school auditorium. And the night before, they said to me, she said to me, I don't know this material. I'm going to mess up. It's going to be a complete flop. I can't go on stage. And I remember counseling her as I did with all my children.
Here's the way you do it. You walk out there as if you have it completely, perfectly mastered. You walk out there as if you have no doubts. You walk as if and speak as if it's going to be perfect.
I remember she said, Dad, that's faking it. I said, yeah. I do it a lot of times in church.
As if, as we think, if we expect we're going to do well, we're more likely to do well. Fully documented.
It's like the first day of basketball for a particular team. Coach called everybody together on his first day. He was kind of getting the lay of the land for the kids who had come out on the boys' team. So he gave all of them a ball. And he said, now I want you to go to the spot on the court where you think you'll be shooting from most. And one of the boys went over and sat on the bench and started shooting. Not much expectation there, is there? And in sports, think about coaching. Some of you have been coaches, as have I. When you have a team, even if you aren't so sure that the other team has got, you know, you've got a chance to beat the other team, do you say to the team in the pep talk right before the game starts, well, guys, we're probably going to lose. I expect we're going to get beaten pretty badly. Do you say that? Of course not.
Because when putting expectations into the mind of people, whether it's in athletics or in spiritual living or in family life, that happens. What happens? When we expect behavior, behavior rises to expectation. And that has been proven over and over and again.
In recent years, it's been called the law of attraction, as neuroscience has discovered more and more about our brains. And this is the exciting part, you know, because if we're made in the image of God, and if the scriptures teach us how it is that we are made, what we're simply doing in science is catching up and learning specific details of what God's done.
And in science and in brain neuroscience, what we're learning is that scientists have said we have neuron mirrors in our brain. Neuron mirrors. What happens in our brain, apparently, is when we see something happening, something in our brain triggers and goes and mimics that. That in our brain, mirror neurons actually mirror what we see. And that's been proven scientifically. A negative example, but very real, about how this works.
If 10 people walked in here with fearful faces, if they walked in with terror on their faces, not knowing anything or any reason behind it, many of you might get very fearful because your brain sees that external fear and makes you start thinking fearful. Not everyone, but many people do. On the positive side, when someone comes in and begins giving out love, then your mirror neuron begins to respond with love. That's why scriptures say, as you give, so shall you receive. God had it all figured out. We're just giving new names to it.
Expectation.
A very real example of this was in a school setting many years ago. Back before we knew better, teachers in a small elementary school where kids moved en masse from second to third to fourth grade, they were in the same class, the teachers at the end of the year compared notes. So this particular year, the third grade teacher sat with the fourth grade teacher and said, well, these are the kids you're going to have next year. And she went over each child. And she put a little code next to each name. SL was slow learner. ADE was average. AD, advanced. And so the fourth grade teacher would know what to expect from each of these kids. They were either slow learners, average, or advanced. Well, next year comes, the third graders go into the fourth grade class with the teacher. About halfway through that year, the third grade teacher says, how are the kids doing? How are my kids doing? Right? Teachers always think of them as my kids. Oh, they start talking about those kids. And the fourth grade teacher starts talking about two particular children. And they are excelling. They're doing so well. They're just bright as heck. And they really, really are outshining everybody else in the class. And the third grade teacher from the year before says, wait a minute. Those were the slow learners. I put on there, SL. They went back and looked at the paperwork. She had made a mistake. She had put the wrong code. You see, the fourth grade teacher was expecting those kids to be advanced. And she was challenging them in new and harder ways. And they were living up to it. Expectations change behavior in our human dimension.
So what about the spiritual dimension?
Well, Paul had it right when he tells us what we're supposed to be thinking about. Because when we think about the things of God, the things of God come back to us, right?
The law of attraction. And so in that, Paul says in the Philippians, letter to the Philippians, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is noble, whatever is right, think about these things.
What you think about then becomes words. And what words then become actions. And what you put out comes back to you. And
mirror neurons in your brain do what we understand God designs us to do. And that is to think on these things and thus to live these things.
So back to Mary. After she got over the shock, she expected God to do what God said he would do.
God did what he said he would do. Mary expected.
Well, that's God.
See, God will never fail to do what's best for us.
God will always give us love.
God will always work for our welfare. God will always help us to find our purpose. The problem is, human behavior blocks that.
It's called doubt. It's called fear. It's called rebellion.
It's called sin. We can block God's purposes.
Think of the cross. It seemed as Mary, 33 years later, was kneeling at the cross watching this little baby she had born be crucified. It seemed to her that her expectations for her son were dashed, were ruined.
But no, what she didn't expect was the resurrection. You see, God's purposes will never be thwarted. We can expect that the ways of God, the plans of God, and the purposes of God will always be fulfilled, even if human behavior stops or blocks or detours it. Always God's way and will eventually come to pass. You can expect that. As you live in the faith community, we expect God to do work among us. We expect God to bless our ministries. We expect God to show us what we're supposed to do and give us the resources for how to do it in the church. It's a little bit like water.
Perhaps you've all had water leaks in your house, but you never know quite where they're coming from. But what you know is when there's a water leak, it's going to find its way. And there may be a beam that blocks it, but it's going to find its way. Water always does. God, likewise, always finds a way.
Human behavior will never ultimately stop or block God. You can expect God's will to be done and God's purposes to be fulfilled. If you have expectations of what God's going to do in your life, they are more likely to happen than if you have doubt. And that's called faith. And so Mary had faith in what God was going to do in her life. And indeed, when that baby came, she was the mother of Jesus as that journey began, and the expectations of God were fulfilled according to his divine plan. No word from God, she had said, will ever fail. And it did. So as you continue to walk to Christmas, I pray that you will expect a miracle in some part of your life. I pray that you will expect God to work in some surprising way. Oh yes, there's challenges, there's roadblocks, and there's things that will detour it. There's relationships among us and within your families which you have no idea how God might ever redeem or reconcile. There's situations in your lives that you think are hopeless, that they'll never change. There's challenges that seem like mountains that will never go away. The power of hopeful expectation, trusting that God's purposes will be fulfilled, will help you find a way with God around and through. It's been said, seeing is believing. But what all we're talking about here today is really believing is seeing. Will you pray with me?